With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, listeners. Look, I'm just waiting for Paddy. He's running really bloody late, but I've got to the pub and I've got him. I've got a couple of drinks in. I think he'll be here. Oh, there he is.
On the way.
Hey.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I got you
a Guinness.
Pint of, well, it's like Guinness. The man said it would be just like Guinness. Well, it's, you know, it's a bit like when you go Christmas shopping for a difficult relative. And
this
I said, there you go,
awful.
Cheers. I said, he likes, he really likes Guinness. He said, oh, what he will like. He said the Guinness was basically gravy plus booze. So he's made you, it's gravy and Tia Maria. Basically 50-50. It's a gravy float.
It smells like sadness.
And he put a bit of Bovril in it as well.
I'm so sorry I'm late.
I also got, he said these are really good.
Has he got eggnog in it?
I got out maybe a little bit, yeah. Mmm, does that slip down nicely? Oh, I like the splash
on
it.
I got
a bag of... I thought they were pork scratches. They're actually horse scratches.
Oh, how very festive.
They sound nice. Nay, eh?
Good.
Reins.
Oh.
Reindeer.
Oh, ding-dong merrily on horse.
And finally for myself, I just got... It's a pint of creme de menthe.
Why did you...
That well, I put like a bit of red food colouring in it as well to make it look more festive.
It looks really festive.
And I can't see anymore, so I think it's going very well.
Well, this is... I asked for a pint of Guinness.
That's
I know
what you've got. The man said you'd like it. The man said it'd be just like Guinness.
I don't know if you've gone in on this yet, but
why?
You should have a go on it.
Okay, go have
it,
a little.
It tastes sort of like... You know when your arse falls into your mouth? It's so bad. Well, so these are drinks...
Oh, it's certainly powerful.
It's powerful. Mm. These are drinks for the recording.
Yes, they are.
Can I go to the bar again?
No, you can't, because I said some very hateful things to the barman. And I don't think he's going to serve us anymore.
Oh, great. And also, I'm on a schedule. I guess we'll just have to start recording. Can I tell you, I love you dearly,
yeah,
and Merry
thank
Christmas.
You.
But this is a fucking shambles.
Hey, Christmas shambles.
Christmas.
Didn't agree on that.
Oh my God.
Pod shambles.
Pod shambles.
Nice.
Oh, what's over there? Look, everyone. Children, come to the window. It couldn't be. Is it? I think someone's brought us
a... It's Christmas! Yeah! I ruined it, didn't I?
Hey, Laurie.
Hey there, Paddy.
Hey. As the old saying goes, we fish you a Merry Christmas.
Is that how the old saying goes?
It goes like that. And do you want to know why?
Why?
Well, there was once a little...
Put your beer down in consternation.
Put my pint down in consternation. Yeah. There was once a little Christmas perch. Okay. Not a fish.
Not.
Yeah, it is a fish.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, perch is a fish.
Yeah.
Did you not know that?
I did know that.
Oh, then
but
why
the
did
perch
you...
tavern?
You were immediately trying to derail me. And he was best friends with a little bream. Okay, a little bream. Who was also... A drummer boy and a fish. He was a little drummer.
What were they called?
They were called Percy the Perch. And James Bream.
James Bream?
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, got a license to like, Krill.
He was. Oh, God. Why did you go for the. Oh, you went for the Bond. I was thinking James Dean.
Oh, yeah, he's got a motorbike and he's a fish without a course.
Someone said to me the other day, I look like James
you
Dean.
You do not.
No, I don't. That's the thing, but I think I was leaning in the correct way. I had a smoke and I had my jacket up really high and I said something.
And a motorbike.
I said, yeah, and I was on a motorbike right at the time. But I said something really cool.
Hang on, is this part of the Christmas story?
What was the Christmas story?
It was about the bream and the
perch. Oh, we fish you a Merry Christmas. Yeah. Okay, so Percy and James, or whatever they were called, right? Okay. They were, so now Laurie, I don't know if you know.
I'm holding on.
But 2016 years ago, almost 17, right, there was once a little boy born.
A little boy
called Jesus. Right, exactly. And Jesus, he was born in Big Shed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big Bethlehem Shed.
Was also aquariums. Okay.
Oh,
big aquarium.
There was a little fish tank in the corner.
Little fish, couple of minnows just dotted around. Yeah. Okay.
And they were.
And they were called Minnie Mouse.
Why they're new fish?
No, I don't know. I'm already bringing in too many characters. Anyway, so this baby's born, right?
Yeah.
To a fisherman.
Right.
Wasn't he a fisherman?
No,
Joseph?
Carpenter.
Carpenter. Yeah. Wasn't that the fish?
That was Jesus's thing.
That
the fish.
Was he fish?
He was fish man. He was loaves and fishes and boat in the middle of the sea.
But I thought he took after his dad.
His dad was a carpenter. Mate, that's one of the most well-known parts of the whole Christmas story. Joseph was a carpenter and Jesus was a carpenter.
How did Jesus get into fishing, then?
He didn't. He wasn't into it. Why do you think he was into fishing?
Didn't he? But
he's not like the patron saint of fishermen.
Isn't he?
No.
No, because he cast the nets.
What nets?
Cast the nets. He cast the nets. No, he said cast the nets of your boat.
He used that. I'm sure he used a fishing metaphor.
Yeah,
there were
maybe.
Other people who fish.
And he fed all the fish.
Yeah, he fed the 10,000 with the roes and the fish. He's not a fisherman.
But didn't he catch the fish?
No, he just got them. There was a small amount of food and he transubstantiated it into loads of food.
Well, then my story is
wrong.
Wrong.
It
entirely.
Is.
Shark the Herald Angels Sing. That's a line from the play that I'm currently
in. We should actually say hello and welcome to the Christmas Podshambles.
Oh, God.
We didn't even say that yet.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, what are people here? Nice.
Oh,
keep
yeah,
it,
here we go. Keep it Christmas. Keep it fucking Christmas.
Yeah, welcome.
Mate.
We're doing a special one. We're in a pub. We're having a drink.
I know.
Christmas drink.
You know what? For the first time in my life, I'm having fun. Cheers.
Hey, we're going to do that lots of times.
Should we tap the mic? Or will that
I don't
cheers?
Think so. Because you might get a little bit of Guinness down the mic.
Really, I should probably not do that.
But we're in a pub called the King's Arms in Oxford, where we're both from.
Yes,
not
absolutely.
The pub. Not
the
we're
pub.
Not from the pub.
And also, no, I'd like to point out right now, neither of us are Oxford University material.
No.
This is the
not.
Official student pub of Wadham College.
Oh, is it?
Yes. Which is
yes,
it is.
Is that where they've got all the pictures on the walls of the rowing teams? And
absolutely,
stuff?
Because Wadham College is next door. And that was the first time I ever saw my other comedy partner, the worst one, Johnny, was in a show at Wadham College. He wasn't even at Wadham.
Oh, I saw that thing. The first time I saw him was in a photo of the 1962 skiff team.
The skiffleboards.
Even younger than he does today. He's never aged.
No, he's aged backwards.
And if you look in that photo, you stare into it too long, he just starts to wave at you.
Yeah, exactly. A tiny little wave, like Jesse Eisenberg in The Double.
Yes, you've just seen that.
I watched that last night. Fucking great movie.
But the King's Arms, it's a lovely old pub. It's got loads of little rooms and nooks and crannies, and we're in one of those aforementioned crannies.
Yeah, exactly. I was hoping there'd be a little fire we could sit by.
There are a number of, you know, there are a number of options on the table.
Do you want me to build one?
I don't think that'll go down well.
Well,
in a very lavishly wooden furnished
pub. I could buy some Tyrrell's crisps and a candle.
Yeah.
And I could set us up a little, it'd be like a Christingle.
Tyrrell's crisps notoriously flammable?
Yeah, probably. They've got, potatoes can catch fire. We all know that, that's why they roast them.
That's not
like chestnuts
those
on an
true.
Open fire.
No.
See, I'm making everything full.
That's
Christmas.
Not how you roast things, mate. Not by setting them on fire.
That is no. Well, yes. That is no. That, yeah.
You don't set them on fire.
What?
Just heat
really?
Them up. You just heat them up a lot.
Yeah, but then surely they burn, and that's how you
the
cook.
Edges burn. Yeah, you know, you don't know. Not at all. Some bits of it may burn.
All cooking is effectively small fires. Isn't
no.
that right?
No, boiling stuff you're not setting on fire, are you?
Oh, well, no, that's not cooking.
Frying stuff you're not setting on fire. That's why you have the oil there, to stop it catching.
Yes, but it is heating it to a point where it is technically burning, right?
Yeah, but that's not setting it on fire, is it? Yeah, if you burn it, it's too much, and you carbonise it, you completely combust it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah? That's what burning is completely combusting.
What's the fire one? What's the... Flambé.
Flambé, yeah.
Is it flambé?
Maybe you set a bit of fire, but you're not like actually making. You don't want like to set a fire in your frying pan. And maybe the flames would appear sometimes because of all the vapors. But that's just the vapors setting on fire.
Oh, I suppose, but fire is an intrinsic part of cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because people used to setting cook it on fire.
They used to cook on fires.
Yeah, but you're not setting it on fire. It's my point, Paddy. I can't believe you got to a belligerent argument. Okay. It's the beer. That's what's done it.
Have you ever caught fire?
No.
I was
and apart from in a metaphorical sense, just like when I was like on a kill streak in Overwatch.
Yeah, when I was being so like, rad.
On fire! And I laid three zingers out into group chats.
Yeah, you hit.
You're really on fire, mate. And
yeah, that is pretty cool. You are sort of the Overwatch
fire starter.
I've been on fire.
I've set my clothes on fire once when I was cooking.
I think that when you were cooking, eh?
Yeah, my clothes on fire.
Yeah, of course, because cooking. Yeah. Right? What did we just learn?
I don't understand what you're arguing.
Did you cook?
No.
Well, that's if you were on fire, you would cook.
That's a byproduct, though. That's not because you're on fire.
Well, I'm just saying they're intrinsically.
You burn linked. Anyway. You burn.
When did you catch fire? I was really talking to someone
like
about
I had a winning
the other
streak.
I think a lot of people have.
Yeah, it was when I was a student.
Right.
I caught one of my. I had a low flying sleeve, and I set off on our old shitty gas stove.
Oh, mate.
I also almost set our flat on fire in that same flat.
Good.
You're
good at this, aren't you?
Because, yeah, now I've got to remember exactly what I did.
Mm.
I think I just left something in the grill. It was something like oily.
Yeah.
And it properly set the oven on fire.
Right.
And we had to use one of the powder flame extinguishers, fire extinguishers.
Oh, you've actually used
one.
Yeah. That's
well, my friend,
cool.
my flatmate Kitty used it at the time, and it was such a horrible, because I did it right, I put the grill on, left it, and went away, and then there was a fire, and we discovered it together.
Discovered? Oh, look.
It appears there's a fire in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Which is not normal, is my point. Things should not be on fire in your kitchen. Therefore, you're not setting your food on fire.
Not necessarily.
But we got to use the powdery fire extinguisher, which I thought was great fun, until all the powder goes fucking everywhere. And then it's not fun.
And then you have to clean it up.
Yeah, I have to clean it all up. I didn't realise that bit.
I've never used a fire extinguisher. I've always really wanted to, but that's never led me to start
such a, like,
fire.
A weird like childhood.
I know,
wish,
it's one
it?
Of those things that, like, you know, if I could ask for something for Christmas...
You'd ask for a fire extinguisher?
No, well, no, I'd ask for there to be one in the vicinity, and I'd ask for a fire.
I really wanted to do that. I think it was an advert.
Yeah, where, John Lewis.
Was it, what, when everything was on fire?
Exactly, and then there was a trampoline
it's Christmas
or some shit.
At John Lewis. Get a fire extinguisher.
The old man in the moon.
Love, just so they don't set on fire. No, it was an advert, I think it was Tango, right? And it was a guy sat on an office chair, and he got a fire extinguisher, and it propels him along the warehouse floor. I've always wanted
to
do that.
I remember that. Did I? I don't know if I told you. My uncle was the lead.
The lead fire extinguisher.
He was the lead fire extinguisher. No, my uncle Robert was the guy in all the Tango adverts in the 90s.
Oh.
Back when the Tango.
You know when you've been tangoed.
He was the you know when you've been tangoed.
Oh, when the guy in a bath and he's like full of doesn't he fill the bath with oranges
yeah,
or something?
Some shit like that.
Yeah.
But it was back
tango,
when
eh?
Back when there were lower tango. Let me tell you, back when there were lower advertising standards and you could get away with more things,
yeah.
right? He was because he used to be in a lot of adverts. He was a stage actor, but he was in all of the Dunhill adverts.
Nice.
He was the
back when
all,
you could advertise
when
six
you
on
could
TV.
Advertise six, and he was the guy who went. It's always time for a Dunhill.
Like, oh,
yeah,
no.
And he looked like he had slick back hair and a massive mustache. He looked like he was amazing. He looked like such a creepo.
Like his
dead
name
now,
would be
course.
Snake.
But yeah, exactly. We talked about him on one of the previous podcasts. Actually,
yeah.
He was my uncle who very sadly died. But he the Tango adverts. He got their advert got banned. Right,
it's too sexy.
Now, mate, this is quite dark, okay?
Oh.
But in a sexy way. Not in a sexy way, but because it was sexy.
My favourite combo.
So he played, so basically he plays like the village vicar, right? And
just constantly throughout the ceremony,
yeah.
Massive bonus.
Just he gets big erection, you know, power wank all over the shop.
No,
Christmas.
Just a big bone, just coming out of his like big cassock.
Yeah,
like,
it's cassock. Keep your cassock clean. And he, and anyway, so he's like, it's at the end of the service or something. Let's say it's a Christmas service, because you know what, Laurie, it's Christmas.
It's Christmas, why not?
And he's saying goodbye, you know, when vicars like stand at the door of churches.
And they
right?
say hi to, bye to everyone.
They
yeah.
say goodbye to everyone. I think that was a really nice thing.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, exactly. And he's thanks for coming. And then one of the little old lady comes home and she's like, Father.
Yeah. Is that the voice?
Daddy, you must come back. That would be really good if you misunderstood that and you called all priests
Daddy.
Daddy.
Oh, Daddy, thank you. That's
Daddy,
such a wonderful time.
Thank you for the sermon.
Oh, actually, I mean, you say that. I knew some particularly New Age Christians used to call God, like, Papa God. But yeah. I'm Daddy God. Yeah.
Like the Godfather.
A little bit Freudian, isn't it?
Oh, there's a lot of God.
Oh, my lovely. Mm, Daddy.
Dear Papa, I want to fuck you.
Wow. When has anyone ever said that?
It was louder than necessary for the pub.
Some disgusting, like, you know, internet fantasy.
Yes. Oh, so anyway, God. He's saying goodbye to everyone, and she's like, Father, you must come round for dinner. Like, oh, we'd love it so much. Let's cook for you. And he's like, oh, of course, I'll come round this evening.
Yeah.
And it is established at some point that the priest doesn't drink. Okay. Uh-huh. So he arrives at the dinner, and there's
this is an involved advert.
Yeah, it's really involved, and there's this whole family dinner going on, and the vicar arrives. He knocks on the door. Oh, Father, come in! And she comes in, and everyone's sat at the table, and there's like all like mum and dad and granddad, uh-huh. and then all the little kids all around, and all the parents are having wine, and all the kids have soft drinks. And he is sat in between the youngest son and the lady who invited him to dinner. And he sits down. He's like, thank you ever so much, Marjorie. She goes, can I get you something to drink, Father? And he looks at the wine glass, and then he looks at the soft drink glass, and he goes, do you have any Tango? And she goes, oh, of course we do. Everyone loves Tango. You know, really, all that. And she's like, I'll get you a Tango, Father. And he's like, thank you. She comes back with this like big can of Tango and puts it down. He goes, oh, thank
you. What flavour?
Orange.
Oh. Apple's the best.
I think it was orange. Maybe apple is the best. I agree,
really
actually.
Good.
There's a blood orange one now, apparently.
Oh, get off it, Tango. You're not for blood orange drinks.
No, exactly. They're,
keep
Tango
it simple,
aren't,
mate.
Aren't those guys.
Yeah.
But and he has a sip of Tango, and he goes, ah, like that. And then he puts his hand onto the leg of the little boy.
Oh.
And smiles at him, and then the tagline, you know when you've been tangoed.
Oh, no!
And it was like, Tango, because priests fuck kids. And the advert got almost immediately back, and he was obviously enormously uncomfortable about doing this, but he, you know, he was just doing
paid,
what he was told.
Yeah.
He got paid
yeah.
and all this, and then you know, and then he did all the Tango, and he did the
and then he did
all the Dunhill adverts, and then he did the Aero.
It was the same.
Adverts.
Well, it was the Dunhill tagline. It's just like it's a man going down a darkened street, and yeah. like and there's like a teenage boy goes, excuse me, mate, you got a cigarette? Like, oh yes,
yes
sir,
I do,
here you go. And then he puts in his mouth
it's the same priest,
and lights yes. staring him in the eyes. Takes a drag, just goes, Daniel, feels good in your mouth.
Does
like
it?
A small child's
cock. Jesus Christ.
And then he just winks at camera. Every single advert he did the same.
Little like, and like one of those like old...
Persil, because nothing can wash away the sins of you. Kids all those children.
You stupid pedo priest. And like the Looney Tunes like circle, like comes onto his face and he
winks in camera.
No, he did all the Aero adverts. That were there was a Christmas advert actually, where this was much more recent. This was like 2006, 2007. Where, do you remember where it's like the lady in the shop? She's like, Father. No, she's like, oh, can I get this Aero? And he goes, oh, do you want your free gift? And she's like, okay. And she's like, oh, okay. And he goes, they come with these now. And he takes out the little mouse.
Oh,
puts
yeah.
the mouse into his hand. The mouse has a hula hoop. And he's like, and she's like, well, that's really weird. And he's like, I know. And it's like, Aero. It's fucking weird. Like,
deal with it.
Bubbles. Yeah. Oh, he was a lovely man. I can't remember why we got onto.
No, well, we did, didn't we?
Oh, but we were talking about the King's Arms
yeah.
or something like that.
Yeah, I think we are.
But yeah.
Big shout out to them for letting us record in here. By
yes,
the way.
They were very, very kind to us. And I believe this is one of the first pubs. I used to underage drinking.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a fantastic photo on my Facebook that keeps coming up, and I was like, oh, it's a nice picture of us all at the pub when we were 18 or something. And I double checked the year the other day because it came from the
what have you done this time
6 years ago. And I was like, oh, it was 7 years ago. I was technically
yeah,
and more must be 8 years ago. I was technically underage. Yeah. It's nice to know.
That's good to know. I've been barred from a number of pubs.
Yes, you have
for going in. Yeah, yes, I have. But for going in and being like. Showing my ID and it's saying I'm 18 and me being really proud and then being like, you've been drinking here for 3 years, just get the fuck out. But there's three or four pubs in Oxford that I'm technically not allowed in anymore.
Yeah.
And I think my local back home as well.
Oh yeah, you mentioned
but
that.
But it was one of those local pubs, like very Hot Fuzz style.
Yeah.
Where, because like you and I are both from little villages, like, I mean, you were born in London, but like,
no, but
we
grew
up in villages where that actually was a thing. I remember really enjoying that about, like,
we had that in Abingdon.
Look, the kids are just gonna.
Yeah. Just gonna drink here.
Yeah, and they're not going to cause trouble. And odds are they'll probably be with their dad.
Yeah,
like
what the line in North Furs is, you know, we can keep an eye on him here.
Yeah, exactly. Which is absolutely.
I don't
true,
know if that
I
was
think.
True of our trips.
Maybe
trips to the anchor in Abingdon.
Yeah, maybe
on
maybe.
Wednesday afternoons instead of going to sport.
Maybe not technically true of us. That is very, very fair. But
yeah, no, I used to, like, it's really nice that we actually found here, because I suggested half a dozen pubs, and I was late, as we have established already.
Yes.
But, yeah, it's, we managed to tuck ourselves away, and I'm feeling quite Christmassy, because I haven't...
Really lovely.
I don't want this to just be, like, the typical thing I say every year on the podcast, but Christmas hasn't hit me.
Hasn't hit you in the balls. You're working until tomorrow.
Yeah,
on a Christmas show.
On a Christmas show. That's the really weird thing. I'm working on a Christmas show called 30 Christmases, set at Christmas.
Yeah. Only
at Christmas, and I'm doing it for Christmas, and it's probably going to then tour next Christmas.
Yeah.
And I haven't yet worked out that it's Christmas. it's like.
But you've not been staying at home, have you?
I haven't been staying at home, and like normally I'm with you and Zach, and there's that little magic moment about like a week into December where I start getting a little bit like.
Yeah, well, that's you, man. You just show up and you pull down your trousers, and instead of normal pants, you've just got tinsel wrapped around.
Yeah,
your
a little. Yeah, like
two baubles on the end. Just go. Anyone know what time of year it is?
Yeah, just glitter up my balls and like yeah, and I haven't had that at all because I've been living in Oxford, which is inherently a very Christmassy place.
Yeah, it is.
Like it has all the markets and all that fucking shit.
Although, can we just say Christmas market up on Broad Street? What a load of shit.
What a nightmare.
Couldn't get it to me.
I haven't seen it yet. That's the thing. I haven't. That's part of why I haven't. Like,
it's like, but you know, there's Christmas markets that pop up in every town. There's like along the South Bank. They start in like November.
Yeah, yeah.
Like wooden little huts. I'm sure you got them in your town, wherever you're from. They're meant to be those German Christmas markets with the kind of alpine huts.
Yeah.
All selling handicrafts and stuff. Yeah, and I always thought the point of it was that like it was they're all little local stallholders and stuff, and when you I don't know, like right, just like some of the stuff they're selling, you know, really it's just really, it's Oxford, obviously tourist time, but it's so expensive and so like busy and full of
I don't know,
completely not what it should be.
It's I think it's,
and you can get a nice sausage in the middle,
or you can, you know,
you know, or some churros.
Yeah, very festive.
Yeah, exactly. Very festive.
But yeah, I just haven't felt it yet. And I was talking to Rachel about this morning. Rachel is another one of the cast members.
Co-star.
Co-star. She's absolutely brilliant. Rachel Parrish, look her up. She's very, very good. About how it's just like, I've technically done loads of Christmassy things. Because I've gone out drinking every night on the play.
Is that Christmassy or just Paddy?
Well, yeah, it's a bit of both. It's the Jervis spirit. And I've been around most of the pubs, and they've all got, you know, all this fucking tinsel and lights and all that. And it's been very merry. And I've been drinking loads of mulled wine and all this. But I think you're absolutely right, because I'm working. I'm not yet ready to commit to fun.
Yeah.
Whereas normally this is the most difficult time of year to get work for a comic, I find, because there are loads of Christmas shows. And if you want to hate yourself, you can do them. Like, you know, you can do the fucking Comedy Store, or you can do the panto, or you can do all of them, because it's like everyone's holiday. You don't want to be doing the clubs at this kind of year.
No, because everyone's well oiled,
dude. It's office parties, it's stag do's, and it's fucking awful. And actually having consistent Christmas work in a play, nonetheless, has actually been so lovely, and it means that I'm earning a little bit of money, and Christmas hasn't worried me as much as normal.
Well, yeah,
but thereby I haven't put that much thought into it.
I think that's all right, though. It's much nicer to be taken by surprise. I think that's the thing that wears off when you're a kid, because Christmas, when you're a kid, starts, if not on the 1st of December, with your advent calendar, it starts the day you break up holidays, which is like the 10th or something, really.
I haven't bought a fucking advent calendar.
No, I mean, I haven't bought one for like 10 years, though.
I always do that. So I still do that. Like a little
weird.
And like not one of the adult ones. I still go for the like
the little,
you know,
chocolate,
like Aldi chocolate, like fucking.
Yeah, I got one year when I was a student, and I just kept missing days. I was like, well, this is. I mean, you just bought some very overpriced chocolate, really.
Well, yeah, that's what you've done.
And every week
shit,
he goes, oh yeah, it's a week later. All the chocolate. I think that's much. And I found this year, because this is the first time I've been unemployed, and usually I'm working up until Christmas Eve or 23rd or something.
Yeah.
And I kind of earned some money early in the year, which meant I didn't have to seek out a lot of work for Christmas, and ended up not doing very much.
Yeah, and also, you're not unemployed, you're freelance.
Right, yeah, but you
there's
know,
a big difference.
As in, I'm not going into an office every day, and I've actually had quite little to do, is what I meant.
Yeah.
And that was what you said there, is you didn't let yourself feel it, didn't let yourself kind of turn off, and that's what it felt like for me.
Yeah.
Is until yesterday, I was like, I should be doing work, or I've got stuff I could do.
Yeah, yeah.
So even though I was at home and seeing everyone for drinks, and went to see my old work colleagues for a Christmas drink and stuff.
Oh, cool.
It never felt like... I was always like, yeah, but I still got a week of work. And even then, it was all hazy because I thought, I might get more, I might not, I might
yeah,
not.
Yeah, of course.
So I never really let my, like, exactly that, let myself slip into it properly. Whereas now, I've left home, I've got all my stuff with me, all my presents in my bag.
Have you?
Seeing you for a drink. Yeah, man.
Oh, man.
That's literally all that's in my bag at the moment.
Oh, shit. So it's this is your inaugural kind of I'm back home.
This is my back home for Christmas. I came back last weekend to see you, didn't I?
I'm saying, yeah, of course.
See the show, which was excellent.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed, apart from those fun people in the crowd.
Yeah, we had some drunk people.
Do we want to talk about them or not?
Oh, it's just like, it's just. You know what it is? It's that I'm so used to, and I think you are as well, because you've been on stage hundreds and hundreds of times, and you know this. And this isn't meant to be like, darling, when you've traded the board
20 times.
But like, no, you have, man. Like, and so, like, if it were at a comedy club, you come to expect it. People are going to be dickheads, or they're going to heckle, or they're going to get loud, or they're going to get sauce.
But it's the whole medium allows for that as well.
Yeah, and you know, if someone gets aggro at you, if you've been doing it for a while, you get to the point where you're like, I can fucking deal with this. Of course I can. Like, this is my job. Whereas when you're in a play that has a script, and yes, we're all comedians in the play, so there's an accepted level of
audience.
Totally.
You know, not being dickishness.
That's the thing, because
behaviour.
Like, you're behaviour. Exactly. Like, when you're at a play, the baseline is don't talk. Like, and then, and like, so you could just fucking, you could see it for the second of the night, because it was Saturday night.
Yeah.
And we were like, we know this is going to be the tough one. And these, like, four boys come in with their four wives, and they were all whammed.
Yeah.
Being really, like,
one of the women had spilt something down a front.
Yeah.
And was being quite, oh, yeah, and
Johnny went and helped
out. Yeah,
and it looked like, that's what the play's
about. But it looked like, you know, they were a bit drunk. She'd done that. Johnny had come to be like, it's okay, chill out. And I thought, they're
going to chill out. And then they taught, and I don't know how audible this was.
I couldn't hear it, but it was.
They talked through that. It's like an hour 20 play, no interval. They talked through the whole thing, and I kept giving them the eye, and occasionally it was the wives and girlfriends
who were really slow.
Fuck off. But like the wives and girlfriends were actively being brilliant. They were being loud, but they kept turning to their husbands and being like, shut up.
Because you allow for a certain, yeah, if they're pissed and having fun, you like, don't want to be like
whatever, yeah, like, it's cool. But it really threw us, and we forgot loads of lines because it was just distracting, and we have to stick to the script because otherwise the story doesn't work,
because it's a play
anyway. And then at the emotional linchpin of the show,
beautiful moment, and Johnny and Rachel at this point are standing in the aisle, aren't they?
Yeah, they are blocking the exit doing this scene that is. I won't ruin it just in case,
but it's beautiful.
Although this show
very emotionally charged,
it's a very emotionally charged moment. All of them decided that they needed a piss, and it's like there are 5 minutes left, and they all
got
one up.
Thing: be adults and wait 5 minutes.
Be adults, like, you fucking grow up, and so they all tried to leave through the fire exit, which you can't do. So they all sort of came back in, like, oh, there's no exit there, and we could hear them, and we were slowing down all the dialogue to try and allow for people to not.
But it
and
was
you
just
could
like
see the
would...
audience's focus just shifting, and you're like, this is, and then they left, and they had to push Rachel out of the way to get to the door, and Rachel sort of gave him the old like, this is good, sort of. Something
well,
like that.
No, it was. I mean, the moment in the play is Johnny saying, "Oh, sorry, were you going?"
No, well, that's it. It's
Johnny saying, "Oh, you don't hate me, do you?"
No, he says, "You hate me.
You hate me, don't you?"
And she says, "I don't hate you." And it's this very lovely moment. I still love you. And they walked in between the moment really slowly, and they sort of turned to the audience and gave him a bit of a, oh, we're being a bit naughty, aren't we, by going out now.
He properly stood and
he did like
waved,
a little fucking dance.
Little dance,
and then they got out, and it was a lovely bit of improv by Rachel where she then repeated her line. She was like, I don't hate you and I don't hate them. And then Johnny went, I hate them. And it was lovely. But yeah, it's like we've had a bit of that, and you can expect it at Christmas, but fucking hell,
thank
I'm glad
God it's only
you enjoyed 1 month
it
anyway.
I did, I really enjoyed it. It's something very different from what I've seen you in. But it was, but no, even coming home from that didn't feel, even though we went out and had a Christmassy drink and my little brother came along, it wasn't, I don't know, it just didn't feel that conclusive again, because I knew I was going
to
go back.
You were going to go back to London.
Yeah.
And you've got, I've done nothing family yet as well.
Well, we had our first big, not a family, but like family friends bash at the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like the most, I sent you a picture, like the most.
Oh, it was so Christmassy.
Class arrangement as well. It's our friends who live in Richmond.
Yeah.
And the dad, who's, you know, mates with my dad, is he works at the BBC. He's one of the correspondents on the BBC on the telly all the time.
Oh,
he's dead famous.
Oh, he's good.
And And they have, I mean, God, there were maybe 20 of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, just these families, and now it's girlfriends and boyfriends, and it just kind of keeps expanding, all packed into one tiny little dining room.
Yeah.
And eating. It was quite a, it's always, it's like, as years go by, usually it's the main course took centre stage, but now it's clear that everyone's there for the puddings. That's what makes it Christmassy.
So okay.
We had like a pasta bake for main, and then those are salad, really nice.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
Like, this tray of different things, like, everyone brought one.
Oh, man.
My brother made it.
Christmas raisins.
Yeah.
Christmas grapes.
Christmas wood shavings.
Yeah, Christmas shavings.
Big traditional.
Yeah. Christmas Yule.
No Yule log.
Oh.
It was a cheesecake, right? And it was a panettone, a hot panettone.
Oh.
That was amazing. Ginger biscuits.
Oh.
Mince pies.
Oh, hello.
Lemon tart.
Oh.
Yeah.
Christmas. This sounds like Christmas to me.
Oh.
And that's all of them.
Oh, that's all of them.
Biscotti.
And then, like, you know, party games afterwards.
Oh, did you do some games?
Kind of, yeah, and, like, they have a bag of prizes, which is just like a sorted tat they've accumulated over the years. It's all really weird.
Yeah.
So if you win one of the rounds of the game, you have to take a really shit prize. Which
amazing.
Is like, I won some sponges one year, which are actually really good.
Sponges?
Sponges, mate.
No, it's pretty
Spongles.
Christmassy.
My girlfriend won Spongle. A pair of reindeer antlers with, like, little bells on them.
Were they sexy?
Were great. I mean, I'm going to... They're going to become part of our intimate bedroom rituals, I assure
part of
you.
Our sex up
blazer. Blitzen blazer. Razor.
Blazo.
There's, like, okay, the Christmas donkeys, whatever, our reindeers.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There's Rudolph.
Donkeys, yeah.
There's
Nog. Yeah.
Nog and Nogbury.
Yeah, exactly.
There's
Tartuffe.
Yeah. And Tortuga.
Yeah, and Tortuga.
The
yeah.
Mystical Isle.
Yeah, exactly. James Joyce,
James
one of the big
Dean.
Ones. Yeah, James Dean, yeah, as we said earlier.
Toffee, Coffee and Cock. The last three.
And Wiggles is dead.
Wiggles who died, yeah.
Wiggles who died.
Wiggles is, who's like, who they rally behind, he's like a dead martyr to the reindeer cause.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, Toffee, Coffee and Cock are my favourites. You can never go. They're always together.
For some reason I'm thinking of them on like a cereal box. Like, and there's two reindeers around, like Snap, Crackle,
oh, yeah, crackle
and Pop. And they're around it, and then one of them is just a big old wang.
No, he's not. He's a really emaciated little stag with an enormous, enormous dick.
That's like dipping in the cereal, and the others are trying to ignore it. Oh, God. Yum, yum, yum.
It's tasty. Toffee and Coffee.
No hell.
Toffee Coffee Flakes with extra coffee.
Christmas
has made us go
Christmas
funny.
Christmas has made us go funny.
Yeah.
I wanted to. Oh, there was. By the way, there's a thing I wanted to do that we used to do on the podcast. By the way.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember that we haven't done this in years? I thought this might be quite fun because we're in the pub and we're a bit sourced and it's Christmas. You know how, on the podcasts, right, or sometimes they really connect with people.
Oh, yeah.
Right, because, you know, like, you talk about something and they just get it.
Oh, no,
you're
not
like,
this big,
you know,
yeah.
Remember, it's like, oh, and you know when you're in the library and then you've got the listener who's in the library and they're like, I know when I'm in the library because
yeah,
I'm
as
there.
We explored last time, it's got a very low hit rate.
It's got a low hit rate, but, you know, because it's Christmas, I think that quite a high hit rate.
Okay.
So I think we can construct this narrative together.
Oh, this
and
what
there's bound to be someone, right? Okay, so,
you're in the pub.
Here we go. You're in the pub. You've got your bag of Christingles ready.
What
made.
Are Christingles?
Okay, what?
Well, I mean,
pause for
okay,
a
pause.
Second.
No, pause. Number one.
What
why
are Christingles?
Why have you got a bag of them?
Well,
no
okay.
one has a bag.
What?
You get one if you're lucky.
Oh, so you do know what a Christingle is,
I do,
right?
I mean, but the way you implied it sounded like you were trying to make a funny word for crisps.
Yeah. Got a little crisp bag.
Why a bag of them?
Well, maybe you stole them from a church. I'd steal them from a church.
Okay, well, that's immediately.
They've got dolly mix on them and cloves.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
they don't always have dolly mixer on.
Take them to the market.
They don't always have dolly mixer on.
They don't always, but the kids' ones do.
I don't think they do.
Oh, they do. My kids' Christingles used to. Not my children, is it? Like, you see,
did your dad make them for you?
No, we. Yeah.
Paddy, this is what they're like in. Because I can't believe that's part of like the church rituals. Like, and make sure you place four dolly mixtures on the four corners.
They used to do that at the church. Maybe because I was at like a fun church when I was a kid or something
church.
Like that.
Anyway, you got why have you got a bag of Christingles?
You've got a bag at all because you've got your bag of Christingles that you know.
Can't
you
just say that you've got them.
You found them in the bin out back of the service.
Okay, this
right?
is
and you're sat in the
immediately
pub,
less relevant.
And you've got your pint of Advocate.
Yeah.
Right. And on the wall is the old calendar of famous trains. Oh, and it's on
Name
December.
One famous train.
It's on the Flying Scotsman.
Okay, two train famous trains.
The Flying Dutchman. Is that a boat?
I don't know.
No, it's a Dutchman, but it's the Flying Scotsman. The Flying Scotsman's a train. There's
it
something
is.
The Flying Dutchman's a boat, I think.
Yeah, not a train then.
No. Thomas.
He's not real.
Yeah,
not real.
Yes, he
is. Don't break the illusion. So you're looking at the old club calendar, because of course you're in the old nook and cranny.
The old tooty whistle.
And the tooty whistle. Oh, God. Yeah. No, the nook and cranny was full. So you've gone to the tooty whistle, which, as we all know, is in Ludlow.
Ludlow.
Yeah, because you're in Ludlow, aren't you? And
stupid bitch. Yeah, you love it.
You love it, Ludlow, don't you? With the big food centre. That's all I know about Ludlow and Pentabus Theatre Company. They're excellent and support us heavily. You've got add in any time, by the way.
Oh, I feel like I want to see where this goes.
Okay, well, you're looking at the old train calendar, and it's December.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's Christmas, and it's the Flying Scotsman.
Yes,
because that is
lucky.
That is traditionally the Christmas train.
Christmas train.
And
yep.
You remember all the years.
Orient Express.
And the Polar Express. That's
and not a
one.
Real one.
Is that not a real
it's
train?
It's a film.
Snowpiercer,
not a real train.
Not a train. And you're looking at it, and you remember all those previous Christmases you had, looking at Father's train calendar as it hung limply from above the chair
where he used to sit
before he disappeared
to fetch his belt.
And you think,
and say, I think it's time.
I think it's time for Christmas. Hello, Paul. Because your name is Paul.
You're getting cold for Christmas.
But it could be short for Pauline.
Cold-coloured ass.
It's Paul or Pauline who is listening to this.
Yes, obviously.
Because we're opening it up.
Yeah.
Because, I don't want it to be too niche.
Or...
And just as you finish your advocat, which, you set on fire in the traditional Christmas way with a shot of Sambuca on the top, you think, I'm going to go out for a little Christmas walk with my friend Kren.
Kren?
And so you leave the pub, and of course it's nearly midnight because they've called orders, and it's very dark outside but very misty and snow, mind you, in Ludlow.
I feel like this is too much.
Very snowy, and you see the old lamp that hangs like your father hung from the rafters.
Are you having a stroke or something, man?
I am slowly dying.
Right. I've got some constructive criticism for you at this point.
Okay.
Number one, I don't think anyone's ever been in that situation, so good luck!
No, I haven't finished. I'm about to finish.
Doesn't mean...
I'm about to finish.
We're going to make it more likely.
And you see the old hanging lamp that used to signal the beginning of solstice when it was lit. And it is lit, mind you. Is it solstice yet?
It was yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, and it's lit because it was yesterday. And it's all lit. And so you pop in your headphones. Dr. Dre Beats, mind you. Yeah, which you got for Christmas last year, as we all know. And you're listening to Podshambles because it's Christmas. And the new Christmas episode's out. And you go, wow, I'd sure love to kiss that paddy. I'd love to shave that lorry.
Shave
and then cover myself in glue and roll in his hair until I look like a little bear, because I'm only a foot high. People mistake me for a cub.
Stop now. God, I really hope this is someone's first experience listening. Okay, I got a number of problems. Number one, that's never happened. There are no people who are a foot tall and would pass for a bear if not for their lack of hair. Rhyme.
That was good. I like that. Have you ever met someone a foot high?
No.
Have you ever met a child?
Yeah. The child is not going to be listening to this, having just gone to the pub.
Everyone has at some point in their life been a foot high.
Okay.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, alright, I'll come with you on that.
Maybe for like, yeah, but only for the briefest of seconds before you immediately grow past it.
Yeah, but as we said earlier, what if you grow backwards? Who was it that grew backwards? Johnny.
Johnny didn't shut
up. He's only getting younger.
Shut up. He did not
shut
grow
up.
Backwards.
Stop
he
it.
May have got shorter. Pudding. He's not growing
Christmas
backwards.
Okay, he's got more. Yes,
I'm glad that you're in a good mood because I'm angry.
Yeah, but you're Christmas angry, which is much better than normal angry. Normal angry is horrid.
Is it, or am I just going to beat twice as many children on the way home?
Beat one off on the bus.
This is terrible, man. I'm going to beat one off. I'm not beating off any children. Why have we gone? I think is it the Christmas time?
It's Christmas. It's dark roots.
Is it?
Yeah. It's like looking into the mirror of Christmas. Yeah. Where
the
you mirror see of everything. That, yeah, you see what's wrong with the
Do
world.
Do you know the thing about the mirror of Erised from Harry Potter?
It's desire backwards. Very clever.
Is it very clever?
Yeah, well,
is
no.
It's quite stupid, really.
Oh, JK.
It's
Rowling.
The mirror that shows you your deepest, darkest desires.
Yeah.
What's it
backwards.
Called?
Backwards.
Desire backwards.
It's called
because
it's mirror
a reflection.
Erised. Yeah. Or erised.
Yeah, what's the other one? Oh, there's another thing where the name of a place is something backwards, and it's a very
Hogwarts.
Important. Plot point, yeah, which is Storhol.
Storgo.
It's funny what you're saying about Christmas and that fucking bizarre reverie you just took us upon.
Yeah.
Because it made me think, while I was trying to drown out all the noise you were making, it made me think of, you know, Christmas is quite arbitrary, the things you do. Like, nothing is more, not much is more, less ridiculous than what you just outlined. That's what I'm trying to say.
What, you're talking
not
about,
even
like,
the most tradition? Yeah, because, like, so much of it is, like, weird little offcasts of other traditions and stuff.
Like paganism.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I got in a conversation with someone about this the other day.
Was
I can't
me?
Remember. It wasn't. Yeah, it was you. Except you weren't there. You were just in my head.
Yeah,
and
I'm always there.
And you started saying, "Why don't you kill them all? Kill them and wear their blood.
Kill your friends.
Yeah, kill them, especially that Zach. Oh, he's got it coming.
Oh God, he's got it coming. Wear his skin
is,
like
wear
a
his
Christmas
skin.
Hat.
It's nice and soft. And you know, you do so much. It's like, yeah, you borrowed from paganism. Like, why do you have fir trees? That's some. Isn't that something about someone gifting
is
one to someone?
Or is it
yeah,
pine?
Yeah, pine tree. You know, they're fir trees.
Are
same
they the
thing.
Same?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I didn't know.
I mean,
that.
Pines are the family and fir trees what they are. I don't know.
You're
something
very
like
good.
That. But they very
good.
But isn't that because like the king of Norway gave one to someone once? In I think the queen one.
Oh,
like
do you
that.
Reckon?
There's loads of stuff like that.
That's the thing. Yeah, and it's these things that you're absolutely.
And they get
right.
nailed onto the
thing.
Story of Jesus being born in a manger.
Yeah.
Even though that. Probably didn't happen 2017 years ago.
No.
Almost definitely didn't happen to. I mean,
yeah.
Not arguing it didn't happen, it didn't happen to the day.
Yeah.
Loads of people don't think he was born at. You know, why would he be born in a stable in winter?
Probably died
in a desert.
Yeah, absolutely. I even hear he might not be the Son of God.
Shut up.
No, I'm
Shut
sorry.
Up.
Sorry, I shouldn't be.
Get out.
Get out.
Yeah, but all that stuff, you know, and it's weird that at Christmas it becomes so literal, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a bigger point to make about religion and how, you know, stuff is. Taken at face value rather than maybe being a bit more metaphorical or
yeah.
whatever. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that and like the gift giving, you know, there's explanation for it in Christmas times, Christmas story, but that's like an old pagan tradition, isn't it? To give people things in midwinter and then the midwinter feast and
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, exactly. That's
a bit
been
we
a...
attached to it.
That's really, yeah.
Queen's speech, you know, she's
Queen's
not been
speech.
Doing that
she's
for years.
She's always been
yeah.
giving.
She's been
talks.
Always ever since, yeah, since King Canute.
Yeah,
on
exactly.
When he was sitting in the water,
yeah.
in the sea.
Ever since she killed Diana.
Ever since she killed Diana to ascend to queen.
Yeah, exactly, because she thought she was coming up strong.
Can you...
Wow, we've just lost a certain demographic of listeners, haven't we?
Do you think we have?
No.
Really? I don't think our demographic would be as much older than 25, and definitely not left of...
Jesus Christ.
Man.
No, but you're absolutely right. You're right. Attaching to the Christmas story is a really, really interesting point because I swear there are so many things, and they can be things that are obviously like, that everyone kind of knows is total bullshit. Like, stuff like Christmas crackers is a really good example. It's like, there is no logical explanation
no,
as to why
there is
we
a
always have.
Well, no, there is a story about it. I'm pretty sure. I'm sure some QI, but it's like an imported speciality
right.
in like the Victorian era. Lots of it is, and so much of it is invented by the Victorians. I mean, they invented so much of our like popular culture.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that's where the first ring thing comes from, and that's where like the story of St. Nicholas comes from. I'm pretty sure it's an imported.
I thought he was Russian or Turkish. Or
yeah,
something.
He is,
yeah.
But I was in like, I think a lot of these became traditions. Through the Victorians, and I'm sure,
yeah.
I'm almost sure that crackers were something brought back by some merchant, and he thought the Christmas like from China or something.
Yeah,
and he Christmas was the, he's like, oh, this is the best time to do it. I put little toys in them, and they're like, you know, fun little things for the kids. I'm sure
okay.
it's all stuff like that.
What about the tissue paper hats?
Yeah, I mean, who knows?
Who knows? Maybe it's to be like the wise man.
Because you can, yeah, make crowns, aren't they?
Yeah, like crowns,
and you
shit.
Can put them in a, you know, and so much of it, I think, yeah, there's no line drawn between what's tradition and what's, you know, symbolic.
No,
what's
of course.
Not. And I think probably stuff gets lost and forgotten all the time. And like you get some traditions that persist in like Scotland. Mm. Well, I guess it's New Year's War. But like I always find Hogmanay, first footing, yeah, and all that stuff quite interesting.
Scottish traditions is fucking rock.
Oh, you go and move there. Go on, leave us and no, move to Scotland.
I'm staying with you. In London.
In London.
But yeah, I think that is a fucking good point actually, because like I don't know, I've never understood. I always thought like Christmas, I am
out.
Sort of taking
Christmas
my shirt off really weirdly.
I don't know, like, I never think about Christmas.
I'm so used to during podcasts with you. I get hot at about this mark, about the 40-minute mark, yeah, of a podcast. I get too warm and very
come
subtly whilst talking try and take off my shirt.
Oh, you do.
And then I try and open the window and like be really quiet about it, but I can't do that
can't
here.
Do that
so
here.
I'm just
because
getting
there are
too warm. There are other people watching. God, we have such an audience. There's Bert and there's Bill and Cran. But yeah, I always wondered about the Christmas pudding, right? Like the whole thing of like feeding the pudding, which is something. Do you know about it? Like my dad was
putting booze on it.
Yeah, but he was saying like throughout the year.
Oh, you're meant to
You're meant to store a pudding and you feed it every month or something,
think.
And then it absorbs all the booze in a certain way.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what the Christmas pudding is like. It's like all the decadent ingredients, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very rich and it's fruit and spices. That and
yeah.
I think that's a kind of medieval, you know, maybe Tudor thing. I think a lot of the food is Tudor.
Yeah,
I don't know. It might be again. It might be Victorian. The Victorians are responsible for so much like fake. Tradition,
yeah,
and a lot of it would be something they read in a you know, an old
map.
They were big medievalists,
yeah.
They really wanted to bring back romanticism and all that stuff, I think.
Are there any new ones?
Any new ones? I'm sure. Well, Yule log is definitely an American thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
or is it maybe it's a European thing, but the Americans definitely made it big. I'm sure gifting wasn't nearly as big a thing as it was.
No, but
I
feel
recently.
Like that's winding down.
Do you? Well, lots of people. I think it is. There's still a lot of cultural pressure, isn't there? There's all
yeah.
the adverts on TV and stuff. But yeah, lots of families say, or particularly couples, will be like, we're not getting anything from each other. We're
yeah.
going to so just cancel each other out.
Yeah, exactly. And like, yeah, like my family don't do presents anymore. We do like a Secret Santa.
Which is such a lovely idea.
Which is really nice. And it does take the pressure off. And yeah, and I've actually, there's lots of people doing that. Secret Santa is definitely like a new tradition, I
yeah.
think. And fuck, what's the other thing I was going to say? There's a totally the John Lewis advert. Like that's like I know that's
oh,
really weird,
but it's
but
becoming
something that's
a
so,
weird
that's
tradition.
So modern that it's like everyone now waits for. It's like 10 years ago, the equivalent would have been like when you used to see the first Coca-Cola advert.
Oh, the first Christmas adverts on telly.
Absolutely,
yeah,
and you'd
see
the truck arriving and the days are coming, we can be coming. And I used to love that one.
Do you know what's yeah?
And the little polar bear and he slides down on his arse and then he has a Coke or whatever.
He
yeah,
has a
Christmas
couple
blow.
Of lines at
oh,
the bottom.
Oh, oh yeah, exactly.
Feels so much better.
But have some blow. Christmas blow. And, yeah, and, like, those kind of things, those modern traditions that I don't know.
But that's
they're
yeah,
almost
they're
now more
relevant and part of it.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the thing I find weird is that, and you get the argument, particularly from, I don't think it's from every religious person, but from some religious people,
yeah.
Christians particularly, who will say, well, you know, Christian, we all forget about the Christ in Christmas, that kind
yeah.
of thing. And expecting it to be, I think you can kind of keep your own traditions and anything, but you can't take ownership of the whole thing anymore because it's not
no.
about Jesus being born, really. It's,
no.
It's big midwinter piss up feast time.
Absolutely.
And here's the reason, here's a reason why. And I still love going to church for carols and stuff. And
yeah.
But it's not.
Do you do that every year?
Yeah, we go to the same place in Abingdon. And it's,
oh, that's
and
really
it's
nice.
Very nice, you know, it's a very. Very C of E
yeah.
church, you know, no fuss, no quiet, and it's like a line.
Oh yeah, those are totally free, man. Take a seat.
It's a really soothing part of it to
yeah.
sing all the old songs you've been singing for years and years and years. But I'm never hit by the religiosity of it. You know, I'm never
really
like,
deep.
Oh, I'm here because I had a really
because I want to worship. Or
yeah, anything. I had a really interesting chat with my godfather who he works for a very big company and they do a Christmas carol service in a church. They like rent a church and
oh,
do
cool.
it there. And he always does the reading, the John reading from the you know the in the beginning there was nothing.
Jesus came down.
No, in the beginning there was nothing but the Word and the Word was God. And the Word was with God.
Pure Mexican heroin, black tar, sticky black tar.
hit up a big vein and popped it right in.
He got his little Christmas belt and wrapped it around his Christmas upper arm.
That's horrible.
Got his little Christmas spoon.
He was Middle Eastern, so they may well have had like opium. Yeah. Back then, maybe not.
I think everyone had opium back
everyone
then.
Everyone had it up their arse in
God,
their
those were the days, weren't they?
Just get opium, go to a little den, have a bit of opium. Like the Victorians used
to. Like From Hell.
Like From Hell, exactly. Like Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, yeah.
Goes missing
just
in a...
go and get... Anyway. I love to get blitzed at Christmas. I love that.
Mate, you can't say that kind of thing.
What's opium? That's the thing. People aren't. I think when you say,
oh yeah,
opium,
no, opium's got nothing.
No, is it like that's the thing? If
still
if,
like,
if I would say, God, I wish we had some heroin. That is a danger sign for pads.
Yeah.
Whereas when you talk about opium, because it's not a thing anymore, you're like, you're
you can
like,
still get
God,
it.
I'd love to be in an opium den. People are like, yeah, God, that'd be cool.
It
with
wouldn't
your long
be cool.
Pipe and stuff. No,
it's
probably
worse than a crack den.
But it's romanticized because it's not around anymore.
Oh, I see. And it's all like, and it's all, especially like those old things like, you know,
like absinthe.
Absinthe, yeah.
Yeah, when it used to have loose mechanics in it, it's absolutely lethal. But if like, but you could totally be like, wouldn't it be nice if we could go
that's
and sit
true.
And have some like, see the Green Fairy and all that kind of stuff? And people don't go, oh, let's worry about Paddy again.
No,
like,
yeah, that's true.
That's the thing. You can romanticise about.
I
that.
Don't know. I think about opium because it is such a like loss of every. You know, it's like snopium. Like you completely
snopium.
Christmas. Anyway, that's not really what I was.
No, sorry, but you were talking about carol service and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, just but that's what, I can't remember why I was getting into it. But I was going to say the songs that were always really nice, actually, are the ones which are old. They're carols rather than hymns, you know.
Yeah.
So like the Holly and the Ivy rather than like, oh, they're nice about Jesus anyway. They're all bloody, it's all about Jesus.
It's all about fucking Jesus, mate.
It's not about fucking Jesus.
No, it's not.
That's a different one. That's
I'm banned from Midnight Mass.
Why? You can't, what, nationwide?
No, oh no, from our one of our village local Midnight Masses. We showed up drunk. 1 year, it's about 5 years ago. No,
it's
maybe
midnight. You're going to be drunk.
Yeah, this thing. I assumed everyone's going to be hammered, and because I've got quite a big family, like I think there were like 11 of us there that Christmas. Like, you know, brothers and sisters and boyfriends and girlfriends, blah blah blah. We were all whammed. So was my dad. So was Janet. And we showed up, and we got like such a stern looking from all of the rest of the villagers, and we were like, oh, I assume everyone's a bit. There's a couple of other people.
I love that we grew up in a place when you can say the rest of the villagers,
yeah, the rest of the villagers, And I remember
there was a meeting that evening, and the mayor said, "We shall cast these heathens out."
Everyone thumped their pitchforks at the same time.
Doom.
Yeah,
kill the beast.
Yeah, exactly, and they lit the fire of Christ in the middle of the village. And anyway, but they first knew something was wrong when we were all doing the Lord's Prayer, and everyone was "Our Father who art in heaven," and our family were like. All 11 of us were behind by between a quarter of a beat and two bars. And so it was all like we were all, and everyone kept looking at us, being like, how are they getting this wrong? And we were all getting it right.
We were just slowly,
because we were pissed. And then there was, during one of the readings, my stepsister noticed that there was a girl who used to bully her at school.
She started pulling
in
her
hair. In the church. And she stood at a couple of things, and you could hear her throughout the talk going,
It's fucking her.
She's a bitch. I fucking hate her. Like, she was and my stepmother being like, what does she do? And then my brother being like, hey, you guys should probably be quiet. And my sister being like, but did she used to bully you? And we were having this chat, and everyone keeps looking over their shoulder. And then eventually I said slightly too loudly, I was like, what have you got against this girl? And the church went silent, and Helen went, have you seen her fucking face? And pointed straight at her, and she turned round, and we were like,
that's good revenge.
Sorry, we're gonna, and then we got asked to leave.
Oh man, there's a really good I love a nice awkward church moment. But there's I told you about the sitcom called Love Sick. I've been watching.
Oh yeah, you told me.
With Johnny Flynn in.
Yeah, and the lovely lady from
Alicia. What's her name?
Yeah.
Antonia.
Oh, God, she's so good.
Antonia
she's so good
something.
At acting.
She's so good at.
Acting,
God,
sex acting.
And there's a scene in there where Johnny Flynn's character is at he's been invited to a wedding, and he gets dumped at the wedding. And
oh,
they're sitting
we've all been
in the
there.
Pew. They're sitting in the pew.
Yeah.
And the, you know, the vows are being read, and he just keeps going, "But you're dumping me." He's like, "Yes, just not now." He's like, "What do you mean not now? If you're dumping," like, exact. I love having quite a fraught conversation. Me and my sister did that exact thing. At
you
this
dumped
carol
your
service.
Sister at a wedding.
I dumped my sister at a wedding. No, at a carol service like 2 years ago. There was a guy who we went to school with whose name I shall not mention.
Okay.
Who I was like, oh my god, it's him. He's over there.
Can you give me a clue?
No. No, no,
because it would be really awkward.
It would be really bad. And also, the only story I can think to tell you is something that other people would definitely know.
Oh, okay. And if you did a charade, it would not be interesting.
Yeah, it would be. You tell him a dickhead. But I was like, and I was pointing him out. I was like, God, he was such a dweeb at school. Yeah. I really don't want to say hi to him and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it was, and she was telling me, you know, something else. And again, quite silly. And there was one person, like, and very audibly, I went, if he comes up to me, I'm not saying hi. And like, he turned around, and I had to be like,
everything is very
really obvious. And then when he left, you know, when you meet around at the end of a church service like that, you know, yeah. Christmas time, and you know, we were there with some of my sister's mate's family, and like we were all milling around, and I was like, we really gotta go. And I saw him walk past, he looked me dead in the eyes and then carried on going, and I was like, I think I've messed this up. But I don't know why I got so anxious about it, 'cause I was like, I'm glad not to have had to see him, but
yeah,
now I feel bad. Now I'm the dick.
I got shot with a crossbow once at Christmas.
You told the story on the podcast at least once.
Okay. That's just my best Christmas story. Shot in the head with a crossbow at Christmas.
It's the kind of thing that if you ever want to use that for like, would I lie to you or something? If you're ever on there, be like, oh, one Christmas I got shot with a crossbow by my brother.
But then everyone would know.
Everyone would already know. Yeah, I feel like that is your best story.
And also, I think I've got the air of someone who...
who might well have been brain damaged by a crossbow bolt.
Yeah, exactly. All those many moons ago. Six weeks ago.
Well, listen, mate. If Christmas is so, you know, if it's so... what's the word? Pointless. No, if it's so, like, you know, not attached to traditions anymore, should we just set up our own festival? If it's that easy,
right.
We just need like a mythical figure to uphold, and then we can just do whatever the fuck.
Can
we
it
want.
Still be in winter?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bit of competition, isn't there?
Well, yeah, but winter's my favourite.
Your favourite?
It is. Why don't we do it like, okay, you know, like, you know, your Gooch, yeah, your Bifkin, your Perennial,
yeah,
whatever
yeah.
it is. What, if we had it in... yeah, apparently that's the medical term.
Perennium, I like. I don't know. Like Millennium.
Perennium. Hey, Millennium Perennium.
My name is Robert Perennium.
And I'm here to take your virginity.
Technically.
Yeah, technically. Well, no, so what it should be is it should be in the Gooch of the year, which is like in between Christmas and New Year. Well, yeah. No, because it's got to be in between the two bits. It's
no, like it can't be flap. Between Christmas and New Year, because we're already really busy then.
Well, yeah.
You have to get a whole new set of decorations.
But you and I always meet up on like the 27th or 28th anyway.
Is it just for us?
Yeah, well, no, we can get other people involved.
Yeah, I think it should be... maybe it should be between our birthdays.
Who's our mythical figure?
Mid-January.
Mid-January. Oh, that's nice. We could do January 13th.
Our mythical figure is...
Zach.
Oh, God rest his...
rest his merry gentleman soul.
No, it should be like John McClane or something.
Okay.
What about...
who's your favourite Christmas?
What about... Zelda. It's the Princess Zelda.
The Zed times. Now, who's been equally important to you and I throughout our life?
Yeah.
I think it's probably...
Dusty Springfield.
Joan Cusack.
Joan Cusack! I like it.
Okay, Joan Cusack. So it's Joan Cusack. It's January
13th. What are we commemorating?
The life and death
of Joan Cusack. So even though she's still alive, where the mythology is that she died and was born on January 13th, and was born again. The same day, in the same year.
She's the second coming of Christ.
And then she's a time traveller.
Yeah.
She's born and dies, and then she has to go back to January 13th, 1900.
To convince John Cusack to make the movie High Fidelity. Yes, exactly.
And whatever you do, Jan, don't put me in it!
Exactly. And then she gets cast in School of Rock over and over again. Right? And then eventually she meets the guy who made Toy Story, right? What's his name? John Peele.
John Peele. Definitely wasn't John Peele.
She gets cast as Jesse. Right?
I mean, Randy Newman.
So, okay, so if we were...
she meets Randy Newman.
Oh, Randy. God, I love him.
Okay,
so Is he a sex offender yet? He's the sort of guy that...
what,
I
is that
imagine.
Purely because his name is Randy?
Yeah, he's called Randy.
What about Fandy?
And also he's the kind of guy who'd be like, yep,
well, it looks like I touched a little girl too much.
So he's like, yeah. So she meets Randy. No, hang on, wait. What are we commemorating first? So it's the life and death
of Joan Cusack on the same day.
So what are we going to... okay, but it has to be as good as Christmas.
Okay.
Is it going to be joyous or is it going to be...
I think there's... I think there needs to be a lot of like strict observance and then a massive bender at the end of it. You know what
okay,
I mean?
So why
like
isn't it?
Maybe 3 days of fasting.
I was going to say 8, but I think sort
she
of
would
like,
die.
Well, sort of like the oil lamp for like for Judaism that lasts. It was meant to burn for one day, but lasted
Hanukkah.
For 8. Joan Cusack's career was only meant to be very brief,
but
lasted for 8 whole days.
I think three days. For one for school, and they're all themed about her different movies. So there's one for School of Rock.
There's one for Toy Story. Two.
For
Toy Story 3. She's not in Hyperdimension.
No, I know.
Yeah, but when she was John.
But that's the thing. So the first one is School of Rock because she's actually there.
Yeah.
And then it's Toy Story 2 because she's only the voice. And the last one, it's she's technically not in it, but her influence.
Empire Records. High Fidelity. We could watch Empire Records after it because it's also a very good film.
Yeah.
Not today, not on Rex Manning Day. I feel like that is a link to Joan Cusack if ever I saw one.
What Rex Manning's for Joan Cusack?
The Rex Manning Day. So yeah, so we do strict religious observance.
So how Rex Manning Day comes after Joan Cusack. Exactly. What are we calling it? Cusack Tide. Jones in for a Cusack.
Pesach. No, because, well, that's already a thing. That's Passover.
Yeah.
What about... okay, so it's Joan Cusack, which is JC, which is Jesus Christ. So we could call it...
JC2 Electric Boogaloo.
JC Riley. JC Penny. The three-day...
Jam Master Cusdog.
Can you Joan me a feeling?
Joan...
Who's Cusack?
Why are you? Okay, but no. But it starts off, and that's the thing. It starts off as a question, but it's now Cusack? It's now just H O O Sack.
Yeah.
Space.
Cusack.
C O O Sack.
Okay, so we're never actually
Cusack,
using
Cusack. Hyphenated.
Hyphenated. So we're never actually using her real Cusack.
No. But that's the thing, because the further away it gets from her actually happening, you've got to abstract it.
I'm already drawing parallels.
You get it?
Yeah. JC.
Okay, so the first
sack,
the first
Santa
day,
had a sack.
The first day of so these strict we'll have the three exactly Santa sack.
Yeah.
The three strict days of remembrance, right?
Yeah.
So day one is School of Rock.
Yeah.
So for a whole day,
you
have to come dressed in school uniform.
Yeah.
Your school uniform whenever you're at school. Right?
Yeah. Okay. That's
and,
fun. Okay. Like Angus Young.
Yeah. Like Angus Young.
Yeah.
And then a man. And gets up wearing tiny shorts and a little baseball, a little schoolboy cap with a Gibson SG.
Yeah. And it's all, when you think about it, really dark. Like, it's not cool.
No.
Like, at all. Like, what he did. No. When you watch
Sheevely.
Yeah, exactly. Fun film.
Fun film.
Everyone's having a good time.
Jack Black has not done a good thing there.
No. What? Like, he's lied, categorically.
And he's mucked up these children's very expensive education.
Yeah, he's an old
just
man.
To have a bit of fun.
And yes, and yeah, they had fun.
Yeah, they learned the freedom of Led Zeppelin, sure.
Yeah, sure they did. But they didn't do anything.
Didn't listen to Joan, did they?
Right, exactly.
That's what the first day is about. But the first day is you should have listened to Joan.
You should have listened to Joan, because, but actually, but there's a second meaning there, because Joan, her whole narrative arc in that film is by the end of it.
She loosens up.
She cuts loose.
Yeah. That's
she cuts
the thing.
Loose.
So it,
does she get together with Jack Black?
No. I think they wink at each other.
I think there's the impression that they go on to have a lasting relationship. Because he's the first guy who's unlocked her.
Okay.
And that's what
we're getting too bogged down in the book.
Okay.
So what happens
so the first day?
You're going to the Scout Town Hall, everyone's dressed in school uniform,
yeah.
Presiding with an SG, and it's slowly, the day is you slowly loosening up, but if you get like spotted loosening up too much, then you get sent to the back and you can start again.
That's exactly it. Every now and then a real Christian vicar comes in and you have to all pretend like you're doing a normal church service, right? And he comes in and he's like, what's going on in here? Sat there with your prayer books. Oh, I don't know. And like, you know, all of the bass guitars are hidden under the chair.
And then it lasts, it lasts 24 hours. That's
that
the first day.
Exactly.
And at the end of it, what's the loosening up part? At the end of the day, the presiding, the official, the Cusack Meister.
Yeah, well, what's the...
Everyone in the congregation has to snog.
The Master of Cusack.
The Master of Cusack.
Yeah, okay.
To represent the
loosening up. They all kiss.
Up. Yeah. No eating all day as well.
No eating, just fasting.
No teeth brushing.
Drinking?
Yes, but only like
subtly.
Yeah, if you get caught drinking, you're at the back.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like good.
No, the kids all drink all throughout, but the adults can't until they've loosened up.
But I like it. Yeah. But okay. it's all in silence as well. You have to loosen up in silence.
Okay, and then everyone sleeps at Joan's house that night.
Joan's house being the hall
wherever
where
this
happens.
Is. Yeah,
they're all called Joan's house. Just off to Joan's house.
Exactly.
The big Joan's house down the road.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So second day. What's second day? Toy Story.
Second day is Toy Story 2.
Okay.
So and what's that about? That's about being loved.
It's about being loved.
Being
lost.
Being lost.
And found.
So it's a massive
being cowboys.
Hide and seek.
Being spacemen.
in cowboy and spaceman outfits. Yes. The spacemen have to find the cowboys spaceman and send them to the museum.
Yes, and whilst being chased by a prospector. Was he in that one?
Yeah.
Was he the little
Stinky Pete?
Was Jessie a good guy?
Yeah, in the end she was a good girl.
Does she feel... Does she have feelings for any of the other characters?
No, she likes Woody.
She likes
Woody.
I
don't think Woody. She like... No, she, her and Buzz Lightyear.
They don't fuck.
I mean, they're toys.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have genitals.
They don't hook up, though.
They do. Her and, not in that film, the second one they do. In the third film, they're an established couple.
Spoilers.
Have you not seen the third film?
No, I have. I watched it with you when we had Christmas at your house.
Oh, yeah.
It was really nice. Yeah. So, Jesse... Okay, so it's all about... So, that day is about... You know, sometimes we all feel like toys.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we don't have stories.
Nice.
And sometimes Texans really fuck us over.
Mate, all you do though is you say, well, this is what the day's about, and then you just paraphrase the plot of the film. It gives us nothing to go on.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Big hide and seek.
Yeah, big hide and seek.
Cowboys hide versus spacemen. Yeah. And there's one prospector who's trying to find all the gold.
Yes, everyone has a whip.
Why?
Like, because Jessie has a whip.
Okay, and then at dinner time, when the prospector, you have to hide the gold from the prospector all day. At dinner time, big horse.
Big horse.
A horse. Big, a roast
what's
horse.
What's a horse called? Like Galloper or Gloppy? Gloppy?
Gloppy?
Krog.
Bullseye.
Bullseye. That's it. Bullseye. And then...
Krog.
No, and then, like Christmas stockings, because we're still drawing parallels, everyone's got a snake in their boots.
Oh, I like
nice,
it.
Nice,
right?
I
like it. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And it goes on until you're tired.
Until bedtime. Until bedtime.
Because that's when all the toys go to sleep.
And then the third day, right?
What was the third day?
The third day is High Fidelity.
Okay.
Because she's not there, right?
Yeah.
Joan Cusack's not there. So it's all about the presence of Cusack.
It's like the Trinity. Explicitly. It's like the Holy Trinity.
Mate, it is.
She's the Holy Spirit.
It's like the Holy Ghost.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
It's real Cusack, cartoon Cusack, not Cusack.
Yeah,
it's the same Trinity.
It's the Trinity of Cusack. Is there another Cusack? There's John and Joan. I think there's two others.
I don't know.
Anyway.
They can get their own fucking celebrations.
So you're right, it's about her presence. Okay. So what it is like in High Fidelity, and because we're linking it to Christmas, everyone makes a list.
Okay, yeah.
You've seen High Fidelity,
Fidelity. High Fidelity, the story of one salmon farmer's adventures with bones.
So everyone makes a list.
Like it?
That was really good. I really, really enjoyed that. So everyone makes a list, and it's the top five things they love about
Joan Cusack.
Yeah, exactly. But one of them, right, they're all things that she's never going to achieve.
Right, okay.
I like the fact that she gets bigger roles than other people.
Oh, I see, because her career happened in a day.
Exactly.
Right.
Career happened in a day. I like the fact that, you know, she's still making films. She's not really, is she?
Oh, I see, so it's things you'd like about the ideal Joan.
Yeah, if you could help Joan and Joan could help you.
Okay.
Like, what would you ask for? And that's the thing, and we all go around each other's lists, right? But it's quite unfeasible. And just like in High Fidelity, everyone looks at number five, which is like, oh, I wish Joan had more, hair. She's got loads of hair, but whatever.
Yeah, more hair though. It's always good.
And we have to say to each other, just like John Cusack did, but wouldn't you rather own a record store?
and everyone just goes, yes.
Yeah. I would.
And, and that's like the when they do the prayers, right, and you have to do la, 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 la. And also with, and not also with you.
And also with
what
you.
What do they say?
Christmas.
Dear Lord Jesus, hear our prayer. They do like the call and answer anyway, prayer. It's like, oh, that Joan Cusack would have more hair. Cusack,
and
hear
also
our
with
prayer.
You. And then you know what I've just realized? This entire 20-minute bit is so based on people's internal knowledge of Joan Cusack and the movie High Fidelity.
Oh, come on, it's not a lot.
Everyone knows it. But that's it. And then, and we all go, wouldn't you rather run a record store? And that is the spirit of Joan. Mm. Because she's not about herself.
No, she's about her brother, John.
She's about her brother's career.
Okay, so that all happens.
So that all happens.
And then you finish at a reasonable hour that night.
And the next day is 13th of January.
Yeah, that is.
Which I forgot what we called it. Celebration of Cusack.
Who's basically every like paragraph it just mentions Zach.
Zach is like the hierophant.
So that's what it gets known as, is who's Zach?
It's who's
like, who is he?
Who's Zach? And they'll be like, no, it's Joan Cusack. Zach. Everyone's like, oh,
who's Zach Cusack?
Who's Zach Cusack?
Okay, and on the last day, you just, everyone
dresses up as Zach. Great.
No, yeah, or Joan Cusack.
Yes.
Who's Zach or Cusack?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can choose Zach or Cusack.
And then you just, the only order for the day is you have to bring enough of any substance for the rest of the people at the party, but you're not allowed to share. So you have to bring enough alcohol for everyone there, and then you have to drink it all.
Or yourself.
And they bring enough crack cocaine for the whole party, and they have to finish it all off themselves.
And then we all...
Or trifle.
That's
you bring
good.
Three
like
trifles, and then you have to finish it yourself.
And then we all get to the Battle of the Bands.
Yeah, and then, of course, the traditional Battle of the Bands, where everyone fucked up on whatever they brought
exactly.
in.
Yeah,
has to perform. What's the song they do?
If you want to go to a school of rock, you've come to the right school.
Anything by AC/DC.
Yeah, exactly. What is this like? And the man on the hill was the one that they called God, or whatever it is. Like, you know.
What's Tenacious D? Obviously.
And Joan loosens up. Is Joan there?
No,
the
Joan's
day?
Dead.
Oh, she
established.
Is
established. This is for hundreds of years in the future, man.
I thought she. Yeah. Oh,
well, we can start it this year.
Well, you can do it.
We've got to project it.
We have got to project it. I mean, I'm totally.
Oh, and then whoever survives next year gets to do it again.
Did we
people
mention,
will die?
Because that's the and also on day one, right? Whatever it was, the first one, we all hand out rucksacks. Yeah,
right.
Everyone gets a rucksack.
We're all filled with survival gear.
With survival gear,
but and a random weapon.
And a random weapon, just like Battle Royale. Joan Cusack's famously
favorite
movie.
I think that's too
movie.
Complicated.
And on the last day, whoever's left gets
so
to be
the
Joan.
Battle of the Bands isn't actually. It like starts off
the
with musical instruments,
exactly.
and then they have to kill.
And then
the
we just waste each other. And
it's not so much a tradition, is it?
Because Joan's fighting.
It's a cleanse.
We know that the
It's much more like eugenics.
A cleansing.
In one instance, rather than... Like, when you come back next year, there are not going to be many people who are like, oh, let's go back to Who's That Cusack?
The Purge.
Yeah. Let's go back to the Purge time. You're like, come on, guys, Mary, Who's That Cusack?
We could call them Q-satchels.
Nice.
Yeah, that is
or good, just Cusacks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's better. Why didn't I think of that? That's way better.
It's the Cusack Cusack sack.
Oh, yeah, okay, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think we've nailed it, man. I think we've really nailed it. Listen, if you'd like to celebrate this year, come along.
Come round to
our local School of Rock.
Was it the House of Joan?
Yeah,
or whatever it was.
School of Rock.
It's in every... We're celebrating it on the third floor of every Debenhams in the country. You just need to arrive.
Does every Debenhams have a third floor?
Well,
the one in Oxford definitely doesn't.
No, it does.
It's got
three.
Have you ever been?
It's got three floors, man. I'm banned from it.
Oh,
I'm not allowed to go.
Oh, yeah, you're banned from everywhere.
I am banned from that Debenhams for trying to ride a canoe down an escalator. Oh, that's not even a joke.
Yeah,
that is what
Jackass
happened.
Styling.
Yeah, exactly.
You and your misspent youth.
It's very funny. So, if you want to come along, just go to Debenhams.
Laurie
and I will be there. I'm quite drunk.
Mate, me too. This has been brilliant.
I've got to go and do a show.
Yeah, you do.
I'm really sorry. So I'm probably going to have to wrap this up.
Let's do it. Well, look,
okay.
if you want to attend this year,
you
can just send us an email at podshambles@gmail.com.
Or you can tweet us at podshambles.
Yeah.
Or you can Reddit us at /r/podshambles. Or you can go to our YouTube channel, which is
This is
Shambles. You can watch all our gaming videos, which are
Pain Portal 2 at the moment.
Yeah, Portal 2, which is actually so far excellent. So get involved in that. And you can also just, you know, scream into a pillow until, you know,
someone
worries
shows
about
up.
You and,
hello.
Hi.
Oh, you're screaming to a pillow,
darling. Hello. Yeah, exactly.
Let me do some two-train adventure for you.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we haven't done that in a while. Oh, in the new year, I might write some more of that.
I had a big pub burp there, mate.
Yeah, that was nice, though. I'm feeling really warm and pubby.
Man, it's lovely. When we started off, we were a bit nervous because there were about two other people in the whole pub, now it is full.
And no one minds that we're sat here with
our... They might, as soon as we press play, we might be like, hey, are you doing a podcast? Fucking load of shit, mate.
Fucking cunts.
But coming in here, doing a podcast.
Yeah, doing the podcast in the King's Arms, you fucking wankers. We might see if we can do a little bit more in the New Year's. And
birthday
get,
one.
Yeah, do a big birthday one for Laurie's birthday and my
and
birthday.
Birthday.
And say a little bit more as if we're finishing the pod... No, as in we're gonna keep doing pod shambles.
No, this is it now.
We've done. Happy
Cusack,
fucking
Cusack
Christmas.
Is implemented.
Yeah, exactly.
And what do we wish people? It can't be a happy Cusack Cusack. It's got to be a...
It's got to be a...
Have a...
Have a... Wouldn't you rather run a record store? No, that's not even her line. What is she saying in School of Rock?
She says,
Mr. Sneevely. This is not very appropriate.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no.
Have a very appropriate time, this Cusack Cusack, girls and boys.
But don't be afraid to play some guitars.
Don't be afraid to loosen up at the end. Loosen up your cusen up.
Oh, I love it.
Cusen me.
Hey, Merry Christmas, mate.
Merry Christmas.
Have a good one.
Happy birthday.
I'm going to shake your hand.
Oh, no. I'm going to go in for the crubble. I think you've done very well.
Little crubble for me.
You know what? Don't believe what they say about you.
Don't believe the haters.
Because I know what they say, and they're right. But you don't need to believe it.
Oh,
just stop listening to them.
What do they say?
Well, I think...
What do they say?
I think you drink a reasonable amount.
Of Ribena?
Yeah, no.
People say too much Ribena.
Yeah, Ribena.
I've been told before.
Yeah, a neat liquor. And you know what? And they say, it's good to see him out of the house, isn't
yeah.
it? And I say,
well,
yeah.
I am out of the house.
Yeah, he's out of the house.
I'm pissing out of the house,
he's
mostly.
Really trying. Yeah. He's really trying. And you know, it's good to see you out and about, because... Yeah. You know what? Just don't listen to them.
Christmas.
You're going to be fine. Have a merry
Christmas.
Thanks, Pod Shamblers. Shamblers? What were they called again?
Shambloids.
The Shambles.
Shambloids.
Oh, I'm drunk. Merry Christmas.
Fuck it. Finish it.
First,
hey, it's a soundcheck.
First soundcheck
hey,
of the day.
Listen how hushed we are already.
One of five. I know. Ooh. It feels like we're sort of...
Maybe you want to turn the mic up at a tiny bit?
Yeah, maybe. Actually, that's probably a really good idea because... See, what I was hoping
yes, mate.
Mate, is we'd catch a load of the pub noise, but we found ourselves
in a quiet little corner.
In a quiet little corner.
There's enough. There's a little jangle of glasses.
There's a little. You know, every now and then we could sort of.
Hello, Peter. It's nice to see you.
What about salt shaker?
Can't hear it. You can't hear it because you know what? That's the nature of salt. You're getting salt everywhere now.
That's I've got salt.
But that's
head.
You know, you're like, and already I feel like I'm speaking in a hushed voice. But that's the thing, but normally in the pub I don't.
No, you're usually
normally
screaming.
I'm cockhead. You know, Captain Cockhead.
I've got another pint for me.
I love being at the King's Arms. It's my favourite pub.
Yeah, that's pretty loud. That's pretty good. And we're going to get more animated as well.
Yeah, as I get steadily more drunk, which is, you know, it is Christmas, then I'm going to get more animated. And then something, you know, if we need to...
If we need
to say something incredibly racist.
I once.
No.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.